I'll start off. My name is Eric Watkins. I'm an associate professor at the University of Minnesota, and I'm the PI on the Fine Fescue Grant. So I have the rest of the PIs listed there. It's three institutions: University of Minnesota, Rutgers University, and the University of Wisconsin. And our overall goal long term is to develop improved low input fine fescues that provide economic and environmental benefits for the public. So you might ask, why study fine fescues? You think about societal trends and attitudes about turf grass management. We often think that the use of low input turf is certainly should be on the rise, and we hope that we can encourage consumers to utilize lower input grasses in the future. And a lot of this sometimes gets mandated by governments, right? We've heard about some restrictions in Maryland recently. There's a lot of restrictions in Canada. We also know from some of our previous work that, especially in Minnesota, consumers want these grasses. And for those of you who have given talks or done a quick media appearance on the news, you know that right afterwards people are, how can I get this grass? And often it's a struggle because these grasses are often not available at Home Depot or other big box retailers. And also, just thinking about the future of the turf grass industry, the seed industry, I think it's good to diversify and improve the selection of the kinds of grasses that are available, and especially make grasses that are available that can flourish and do well and function well in lower input environments. So the fine fescues, as many of you know, have a lot of good attributes for low input environments. They're pretty shade tolerant. Some people think they can only grow in shade, but we all know that our research plots are all in the sun because we have terrible shade research plots, right? This is an exception. Rutgers has a good one. But we know that they do well in shade or sun. They grow pretty slowly, so you don't have to mow as much. And most people, maybe people in this room like to mow, but most people don't like to mow very much. And it also, of course, has savings and mower use and fuel. Drought tolerance, they don't need as much water to stay green in the summertime and in climates like Minnesota. Now, under severe drought, there could be problems because their dormancy mechanism isn't as good as some of our other grasses. Big one for us in Minnesota is winter hardiness. Every once in a while, someone will send us an incorrect seed packet. I'm not going to name names, but we'll get a fine fescue in the middle of a perennial ryegrass trial. We should really catch it because we should be able to ID seed, so that's our fault. But when we've had significant damage on perennial ryegrass, you can see that the fine fescue doesn't get touched. So we don't really have to worry too much about fine fescues. There might be a few concerns with ice cover, but that's about it. Some of the fine fescues have endophyte infection, and we know there's a lot of benefits to endophyte infection. And one of them, found by the Rutgers group, discovered by the Rutgers group quite some time ago, suppression of dollar spot when there's an association with an endophyte. So you think about a low input environment, mow less, use less water. We've got endophytes that, give us some good insect tolerance. Also, some other benefits potentially, such as disease resistance. Allelopathy, this is an interesting one that a lot of you know about. To some degree, there was a group at Cornell that did work on allelopathy and fine fescues maybe 15 years ago or something like that. And they published a series of papers, very interesting work, showing that some of the fine fescues, Chewing's fescue and Strong Creeping fine fescue in particular, had allelopathic effects against some weeds that were important in turf systems. And that work was really good, and in fact, one of the papers was published in PNAS. And then there was no additional work done after that, so we kind of thought that this might be an opportunity. We thought about, we've got better disease resistance, we've got better water use, all these other low input traits, and now we have maybe the ability to reduce herbicide use a little bit if we can improve allelopathy and fine fescues. And even in a situation where you need to use some herbicides to some degree, there's a few more herbicide options, selective herbicide options. You can even use Roundup if you're really, really careful. And we've done some work on campus looking at different low rates of Roundup as a weed control strategy and fine fescues on fairways. The other thing about fine fescues, not only do they have these numerous good traits, but they also, at our program and other programs, have found they are very adapted to a lot of different management situations. Home lawns is an obvious one. So we've done work regionally here in the North Central, looking at some of these fine fescues in a number of different states under very low input management systems, and the fine fescues always do well. So here I've just highlighted all the instances of a specific grass at a specific location doing well, you know, with acceptable quality. You see the fine fescues, they're pretty consistent across the whole region. We expanded that work to look at a number of cultivars and across the same region. Once again, a lot of the cultivars of fine fescue did pretty well. The sheep fescue at the bottom there that are boxed off did not do as well, but that's a very diverse group of grasses that we maybe don't understand as well as we need to. And there's some potential also for those to do well in certain situations. More recently, we've looked at this grass for golf course fairways, and those of you who've been to our research center at all have seen these, and they look very good in our climate. It's going to be more of a struggle in a warmer climate, but the NTAP has done fine fescue fairway trialing now a couple times, and there certainly are species and within species different cultivars of fine fescues that can do well at that height of cut for golf course fairways. We, in addition to fairways, and I don't have a picture of this, we've been looking at it as a golf course greens grass on campus as well. And there again, there's certain fine fescues that do pretty well. Chewings and slender in particular do pretty well at a playable green site. Seen a big increase the use of fine fescues in no-mow areas, out-of-play areas, especially in golf courses, as a way to reduce inputs instead of mowing those out-of-play areas. Putting in no-mow fine fescues, very aesthetically pleasing. There's some interest in this from parks, you know, large park areas and things as well. So we've also seen an uptick in fine fescue use there. We've done a lot of work in the last 5 years or so on roadside. So when we look at grasses that do well in a cold climate on a roadside, the fine fescues are typically out-competing the other cool season grasses. And that's a huge grass use. You don't think about it very much, but there's a lot of acreage of roadsides. Those municipalities buy a lot of fine fescue or whatever seed they put down. And they get frustrated when their grass that they plant dies, right? So they want to look for new options, and the fine fescues do pretty well in this situation. There are some management situations when you plant fine fescues on roadsides. There's a different way to manage them than they might be used to with Kentucky bluegrass, and we're working on that. But overall, they have better performance on roadsides than things like Kentucky bluegrass. Talk about endophyte infection. So here's just, you know, a summary. So we've got, for those of you who are unacquainted with the fine fescues, there's really five species that we talk about: strong creeping red fescue, slender creeping red fescue, sheep fescue, chewings fescue, and hard fescue. It's kind of a summary of some of their main attributes. One thing you'll notice on here, there's some question marks, there's some missing information, and that's another thing that we're trying to address with this project. You know, fine fescues have been around a while, they just haven't been heavily used, and because they're not heavily used, they're not heavily researched. If you know, try to look up and see if there's a scientific journal article about heat stress tolerance in fine fescue, you might be looking quite a long time. So some of these basic things about fine fescues that we don't fully understand, that's another thing that we're trying to tackle with this project. You'll probably see this graphic, I guarantee you'll see this graphic a couple times today. So this graphic kind of shows how we are, how we structured our project. And you'll see at the top we've got a box for public land managers and a box for homeowners. And the key thing here to notice is that this is a breeding project. Our ultimate goal is to develop varieties of fine fescue that are better adapted to low input environments. But we want our breeding program, breeding programs at Rutgers and Minnesota, to respond to what the market wants. So what do consumers want? What do public land managers think about grass choices? Things like that. So taking data that we get from marketing experts and social scientists and using that data to make decisions in the breeding program or to make decisions in the direction we're going to go in the future. So you're going to hear today about some of these, and when we put the symposium together, we really wanted to concentrate on these things that are a little different than we typically hear about here in C5. So the first objective is public land managers. So Krista Nelson from the University of Minnesota, she'll speak later on this project, evaluating the motivations and barriers that the public land managers have for converting or using fine fescue. So this could be any kind of public land manager. Shengyan Yu, also from the University of Minnesota, is going to talk to you about some survey work on consumer attitudes and consumer choices, what they're willing to pay for grasses, what they think are important traits, what are the traits they're looking for when they buy a grass. Third objective is kind of the major breeding objective and research objective. We've established a collaborative breeding program where we share germplasm back and forth and test it at multiple locations. And there's a lot of traits to talk about with fine fescues, and there's definitely some weaknesses in the fine fescues. And we've divided them into agronomic traits and consumer traits. So the agronomic traits are traits that we know are a problem, but the consumer might not really know about or understand. So the consumer probably doesn't know a whole lot about snow mold resistance, for instance. But we've seen that to be a problem in certain situations. Consumers might not know about heat stress all that much. Wear and traffic, another one that we certainly know that that can be a concern in certain management situations. The consumer traits, then, are traits that are those traits that will be that will come out of that consumer and public land manager work. So it might be things, you know, things that homeowners notice. How much do I water my lawn? How much do I mow my lawn? Are there weeds in my lawn? Those kind of things. And that'll help us figure out the directions we want to go in terms of selection. Drs. Bonus and Meyer at Rutgers are part of the collaborative breeding team, along with myself at Minnesota. So we've got the sending germplasm back and forth, looking at new collections each year, looking at various stresses and changing which stresses those are based on recent data from the consumer and public land managers' objectives. Jim Murphy's leading work on wear and traffic tolerance. You'll see, you probably saw a poster, a talk by Eric Chen this week, looking at all these different things with wear. We just, you know, trying to figure out how can we phenotype this trait? What's the best way to select for wear tolerance in the field? Dr. Clark is involved with some work on summer patch disease. You can see here in this picture, this is especially a problem in hard fescue, and a big limitation of hard fescue use in New England, and a lot of you have been there or live in New England have seen this, that summer patch can just devastate fine fescue stands, especially hard fescue in the Northeast. So that's another thing we're trying to tackle with the project. Dr. Bingru Wong is looking at heat stress tolerance. A lot of work on, you know, just even the first step was just figuring out, you know, what's the species rank for heat stress tolerance with the fine fescues, and then after that try to figure out which varieties are heat tolerant, looking at some of the physiological factors that are playing a role in heat stress tolerance, and then moving on to molecular analysis. And those papers have also been presented during this meeting. Paul Koch at Wisconsin, looking at snow mold resistance, and someday we'll get snow mold on our trials. We keep moving them further north. We're going to be like in Thunder Bay pretty soon. I get it on my lawn every year, so it doesn't work when you do research. Brian Morgan and Jim Murphy are leading the outreach work, and they'll talk. Jim Murphy will talk more about that later on today. Future directions. One thing we want to do, you know, ultimately we want, when somebody goes to the Home Depot, we want them to be able to buy fine fescue. They can kind of buy it now, and we're seeing more and more of it, but it's still really hard to get a hold of. It's in some mixes, and when we think about the fine fescues, like hard fescue, chewing fescue, those species keep rising to the top in a lot of our trials, and those are the ones that are kind of hard to identify. And there's a couple reasons for this. One is inconsistent seed production. So it's hard, you know, there's just not a lot of seed production overall. It's a little flaky from year to year. So as we move forward, this is something we'll look at probably in our next renewal of our grant, is this problem of inconsistent seed production, working with growers in Oregon on ideas and research to improve that. I mentioned winter hardiness not being an issue before, but the one thing we have found, and Andy Holman from our program is going to do a poster on this tomorrow, is some of the species don't seem to do very well under long ice cover. And there's species differences for sure, so that's something we want to continue to investigate, especially if this starts to be used, these fine fescues, more and more in golf course fairways. We have an annual meeting each summer where we get together and talk as a group and give research updates and plan for future years. One thing we did this last year is we went to Oregon, which was a really nice trip in the Silverton Hills, and looked at fine fescue seed production, spoke with growers, and tried to understand some of the problems they're having and the challenges they face in terms of fine fescue seed production for the future. We have an advisory panel, and there's been people on and off this the whole time, but Leah Brillman, Mike Kenna, and Kevin Morris have been consistent supporters as advisory panel members. Funding, obviously, from USDA, and then at the time, there was a requirement of matching funds, so the United States Golf Association has been a partner, Minnesota Golf Course Superintendent Association, and then also the Minnesota Parks and Sports Turf Association. I think I've used up all my time, so if you have questions, I will take them later. Thank you.